The gospel text comes to us from Luke in the 7th chapter. This, I think, might be one of the most beautiful stories in all of Scripture. I hope you let it infect you today. And one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw it, and he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owned 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we admit that throughout the week, our minds, our hearts, our ears, and our eyes are not opened very often to all that you're doing in our midst. And so as we set apart this hour, indeed even these next few minutes, to listen very intently for what you have for us, may our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds be opened to receive whatever you have for us, so that we too can turn and be healed. Amen. This is a beautiful story. Can you imagine this woman? She invites herself into somebody else's house. And then having come face to face with Jesus, she weeps so heavily she can wash his feet with her tears and then wipes them with her hair. I mean, what could cause her to do an act so beautiful, so loving, so serving, so generous? When I was in college, I had been dating my now wife, Blair, for about 7 months or so, and her birthday was coming. And I didn't know what, but I knew I wanted to do something big, you know, something really, something to let her know how much she has meant to me over those 7 months, the ways in which I've been grateful that she has now been in my life, and the way it has, I don't know, you know, those things that all those love songs talk about just makes the world seem better. I was grateful for her. So I got to thinking, and I remembered that a friend of mine had got his pilot's license for a while, and he was increasing his number of hours that he needed to fly get his hours up, and I think he got instrument ratings and all those sorts of things. I don't know if some of your pilots might know a bit more about it. So I offered him, I said, I know you've got to fly a lot more, and so how about I split the cost of a flight, and you fly us somewhere? So on Blair's birthday, I drove her out to the airport, and we got into one of those tiny planes with four seats in them, and we flew to an airport near her hometown where her friends from high school picked us up, and we drove to a drive-in, a little restaurant in the small town that she grew up, and in fact, she worked at this restaurant as well. So we had dinner there with her and her friends, and then we drove back to the airport, got in the plane, and it was nighttime then, but we still found the farmhouse that she grew up in, and we, you know, flew around it, and then flew back to Sioux Falls, where we were going to college. Now, I don't know what your life is like in college, but even to this day, I'm not exactly sure how I had the money to pay for that kind of a date. You know, I mean, the amount or the cost was huge. And yet, it was insignificant. Because it was one of the best dates, it was one of the best days of my life. Worth every penny, right? In fact, you can't even put the price tag on it, right? So why? What causes this woman to do this act of gratitude? And we don't know much about her. In fact, all we know is really through the Pharisee's eyes, who sees her and he knows that this woman is a sinner. Now, I don't know about you, but this word sin is loaded. And in fact, I think we limit it when we think of it only in terms of morality, as a moral sin, or breaking the Ten Commandments, because it's that, indeed, but I think it has a lot more depth to it, even. Cornelius Plotinga, is one of my favorite names for a theologian, writes that he thinks of sin as anything that disturbs shalom. Now, I don't know if he was a Star Wars fan or not, but I do enjoy that definition. Anything that disturbs shalom, or the peace, or the wholeness of the world, and us. Often I think of sin in much the same way as anything that causes anyone or anything to be less than it could be. I don't know what you do in your life that's really hard. This is hard sometimes. And I can't tell you how many times when I'm preparing that I've got these voices that just say, this isn't going to be very good. No one's going to like this. This isn't going to mean anything to anybody. That's hard. It's hard to get over those voices that say, you're not what? Good? You can't do this? It's fascinating about the story, I think, and really about the biblical witness in general, but Jesus in this story, is that he refuses to let us be defined by our sins, by our brokenness, by the ways in which we feel less than. The Psalms say it beautifully, you know. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. Genesis, the story that we all know so well, right? God creates the world, and everything is proclaimed to be good. And humans are made, and we're very good. And then God gives us sort of this command, but also this invitation to be stewards of everything and co-creators. We get to participate in the creating and forming and shaping of this world. I mean, just think about that. There was a time when I wasn't, and now I am. We can all put a date on it, though, right? I mean, we know the date well. Before, any time before March 7th of 1984, I wasn't. And now I am. This life is a gift. And I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. And I get to be here. I get this day. I get to do anything, right? With the resources and the breath and life that I have. In the same way, in much the same way, retelling of, I think, the same idea Abraham is called. And he says, you are blessed to be a blessing. And that's the great call of Abraham. It's the story and it's the narrative, I think, behind all of our lives, in fact. That we are blessed to be a blessing. All we have, all we are, right, is a gift. So what are we going to do with this gift? Well, I think this woman got it. I think she really got it and really understood it. And so she was able to live out of this incredible sense of gratitude and thanksgiving. And it was able to be generous and loving. Pharisee, all he could see was the ways in which he'd fallen short. But man, he missed the beauty, right, of her actions. How boring of a narrative. How boring to only see the ways in which we're less than. In a similar way, perhaps, and in our little bit of our popular culture or current events, I don't know. But I don't know if you caught this narrative or the two narratives that were following Tom Brady and Bill Belichick around the Super Bowl. I'm not a big Patriots fan, so it's hard for me to use this in a sermon. I don't know if that's with your ears as well. But if you're not a sports fan, Tom Brady has a couple of years ago got into trouble or supposed trouble for being involved in underinflated footballs. And so at the beginning of this year, it was settled and he was banned for the first four games of the year. And after winning now the Super Bowl, many people thought that he was on sort of this revenge tour, right? At 39 years of age, he had one of the best years of his career, and then he capped it with his dramatic come-from-behind victory in the Super Bowl, and many people thought, how sweet is this victory, you know, that you could stick it to Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL. But Brady, and I think almost shortly after the game, he was being interviewed, and he says, you know, it's nothing to do with that, it's all love. It's all, I think it was just in euphoria, but he says, you know, it's all love. It's all good. And then later, as the story began to break and open up, it was revealed that his mother, actually, had been fighting cancer that whole year. And as Tom had opened up about it, he began to say, you know, that it gave him a whole new perspective on his life. On being grateful, on playing just for the passion of the game, and knowing that his mother got to watch him play. as one of the headlines of the story read, love is a bigger motivator than hate. And I think the same question comes for us in some ways. What is our motivation for being generous and grateful, or even just how we're going to live? In a few moments, we're going to take an offering here. And there's many ways in which you could give. You could give out of the sense of begrudgingly, do I have to? You could give out of a sense of obligation or a sense of duty. That is interesting. But even greater still, I think what I really hope for all of us is that we're able to give out of a sense of gratitude, of thankfulness for just being alive, for being blessed, and wanting to be a blessing. The story ends as Jesus looks to the woman and he says, "Your faith has healed you, or saved you, or made you whole. Go in peace." And I don't know about you, but that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, if I could live with that kind of passion and love and gratitude, yeah, I really do think that kind of faith could make me well. So may all of our hearts be so filled with gratitude this day that we can't help but live out of that place and give, not just with our offerings of money, but our entire lives from that. And then we would go anywhere in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.